Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Second half of Grant and Danny kicking off an hour from now. Cordell Stewart, longtime Pittsburgh Steeler on the show to talk Super Bowl 52. He's now doing a radio show on TuneIn Radio. Got to talk about LeBron James being the youngest player ever to 30,000 points later this hour. And we'll get to Baker Mayfield. If you had to bet on him being a stud or a dud in the NFL, which route would you take? But right now, let's get to the Beltway Blitz and to the USA Today's Mike Jones to kick off a little football convo. Jonesy joins us from Mobile. I hope you have hit up the brick pit at least once, my friend.
Yes, I got here yesterday morning, had dinner there last night. But I got to tell you, a bunch of the scouts had come through and cleaned out all the sides. So I got to run it back again because I had, you know, obviously the great pulled pork and the ribs, but didn't have any sides to go with it because of the Giants and the Rams scouts.
If you don't get the full experience, did you even have the experience? Jonesy, why is there this completely wide discrepancy between some people that are obsessing over how good these quarterbacks are and others that are going, yeah, I don't really see it. They're missing throws all over the place and doesn't look real good. What's going on here?
Well, I mean, it just depends on who you talk to and like what they're looking at. If you're going to go out there and expect that these guys running their first practice with wide receivers they've never thrown to are going to look great, then you're silly. You just like don't, you know, your expectations are unrealistic. But if you're looking at their fundamentals, their technique, maybe the zip on their ball and things like that, then you can, you know, the way that they handle, you know, playing under center, a lot of them for the first time, then you can have some things to go on there and you see, okay, let's see, that was day one. Now we'll look for the progress in day two. So from people I was talking to yesterday, a lot of them were like, look, we can't really tell. We're sitting out here just like you, but not till we get back to hotels and we're watching it from the sky view on the on our iPads and things like that, will we really be able to evaluate these players and things and really know who really stood out.
Mike, Bruce Allen was on Sirius XM Radio yesterday, and he said that the coaching staff did a good job. They really liked the way Jay Gruden and his staff led through a difficult season. You think that's a pretty fair evaluation? Are the Redskins being reasonable and practical by kind of just coming back to the drawing board for a second year with this group?
Yeah, well, I mean, stability is really big in the NFL. You know, you look around the teams that win, they don't have turnover every couple years. You got to kind of maybe try to see some things through there. And the Redskins were hit hard by injuries. I know a lot of teams were hit hard by injuries and they were able to overcome it, but those teams were already better off. Their core was better off than the Redskins. They're still trying to get consecutive drafts together where they have these guys all competing and making meaningful contributions. So I did think that Jay Gruden did a good job dealing with, you know, all the injuries, and his guys continued to play. I think we saw maybe the Chargers game where you thought was really a stinker, and they had a couple other ones, but they did fight down the stretch for the most part. It's hard to do well when you've got guys who were working for UPS last week and they're expected to block your quarterback. But I thought that it was right in bringing Gruden back. And, you know, obviously they can't, you know, use that as an excuse every single year. They've got to start growing and moving forward this year coming up.
It seems like, and just kind of piggybacking off that, it seems like they think they're close. I'm not really sure how close they are. They're not terrible anymore. They've climbed into the mediocre bucket, but getting to the good bucket, that's really, really hard. How close do you think they are? Is it a couple acquisitions away if they do run it back?
Well, I don't know yet because we don't know what's going to happen with the quarterback situation. You know, I mean, to me, it looks and sounds like Kirk, you know, I think that it doesn't surprise anybody, but it seems like he's not going to be back. So then what's your answer there? Do you roll with Colt McCoy and stay, hope he can stay healthy while you groom a rookie? Do you get an Alex Smith, a guy who's a veteran who can come in here, you plug in, and then you continue to build around that? That'll really determine how close they are, how far away they are. I do think that if Jonathan Allen's healthy, you know, and your guys in the secondary can stay healthy and you figure out your linebacker situation, that your defense is improved, because that defense was playing a lot better when Jonathan Allen and Matt Ioannidis were together, really leading the interior pass rush. Then they got hurt and things dropped off there. Offense, you know, you still got questions at wide receiver, got questions at running back. The interior of your offensive line, you got kind of some questions there at the center and the left guard position. So there's still, I guess anything can happen, but I don't see them making a huge leap from last year to this year right here just because they have so many holes that they still have to plug.
Mike, I look at Zach Brown as a guy that's going to test free agency, it sounds like. Jay Gruden yesterday was asked about him. He said, well, we need to get two of three back, whoever they are, Foster, Compton, Brown. Well, okay, fine, but seems to be like the Redskins struck gold with this guy, and it doesn't seem like they're more than a little bit interested in bringing him back. What's the market going to be for him, do you think?
Well, that's a good question, because last year he was a Pro Bowler. And I'm sorry, 2016, he was a Pro Bowler among the lead leader in tackles, and he only got a one-year deal from the Redskins because he wanted guaranteed money that was really important to him. He didn't want some 3-4 year deal that had low guarantees and a bunch of incentives. He wanted to be paid, so he knew, okay, yes, it's a one-year deal, but I'm getting a lot of guaranteed to take care of myself and my family. So it'll be interesting to see what his approach is and, you know, what the Redskins throw at him and what other teams do, because if he was coming off of a Pro Bowl year the year before last among the leading tacklers and didn't get a really sexy offer, I don't know that he will again this year, another year older. But I think that he's very important for the Redskins to bring back. Yes, they've got to figure out who goes next to him, but he's the better of all three of those linebackers, and you got to have a guy who's got great range and a difference maker on your defense if you expect to improve.
Mike, big picture NFL, who's your favorite offseason head coaching hire? What do you think the best fit is?
You know, I'm really curious to see how Steve Wilks does out there in Arizona, just from talking to Josh Norman and other people who have played with him in Carolina. You know, they really, really rave about him, just the way he's able to lead. I'm curious about Mike Vrabel. I mean, he's a guy that doesn't really have much experience, but everybody I talk to says very detail-oriented, very relates well to players and things like that. So some of these guys that maybe they aren't the names like the McDaniels or the Patricia or the Shermans, the sexiest names, but I really am kind of curious to see how these guys do. And, you know, I don't know that there's going to be somebody that's going to do a Sean McVay and turn team from, you know, a stinker to a real contender in 1 year, but it'll be interesting to see.
Jonesy, thank you, buddy. Appreciate you as always.
All right, I'll see you guys.
Enjoy Mobile. Let's talk a little bit of hoops. Nick Handsome, you know him as Nick Ashew. You heard him last night on 106.7 The Fan with Chris/Russell. Nick, Bradley Beal is an all-star. How deserving is he?
I mean, he's probably more deserving than John Wall. It's funny, you see all the venom this year on Twitter for John Wall, a lot of people saying he didn't deserve to be an all-star, which is kind of a 180 from what we're used to when it comes to this team. But, I mean, look, Beal's averaging a career high in points per game. He's did a great job filling in for Wall when Wall was out. I don't really think that there was any surprise that he got in there. I was honestly surprised, guys, that it was both of them, though. I did start to think that as time went on, that Wall would end up being the guy that was left off the roster. And the fact that the Wizards get two, despite the fact that they've had these struggles recently, really ups and downs all year long, you know, it was a little bit surprising to see them both in there. But, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, if you're looking at best backcourts in the NBA, those two are still in the conversation for the top three. And if you really want to stretch it, top five best backcourts in the NBA, although I'd go higher than that.
Nick, to me, I keep saying the same thing about John Wall. I think the knee is bulky. Some nights good, some nights not as good. He's having his worst year to me since 2012, 2013, when he only played 49 games because of knee issues. I'm wondering if you think he needs a break. I'm wondering if you, A, agree with me, B, if he's not hurt, what's going on? Shooting, again, a worse percentage than any year since his rookie year. Doesn't seem to be taking over games. He walks more than anybody else in the NBA at this point, taking breaks, et cetera. What's going on with John?
Yeah, you know, you and I have been talking about this for a while, and as much as we know that you like to panic about a lot of things, you're proving more and more to be right when it comes to this, I think. John Wall doesn't look right. I mean, he does not have the same explosion at times and the same, you know, I mean, he has the intensity in terms of his personality on the court, but he just he's just not the same player right now. And I know that Zach Lowe stat that was out there, I tweeted out. I think it made its rounds through Twitter yesterday with all of the walking. And, you know, I don't really know how they figure out some of these things. It's amazing the stats that they throw around now with all these advanced stats in the NBA and really all sports. But, I mean, John Wall is not the same player. Rest would be nice. I mean, maybe he sits out the All-Star game. Maybe it's one of those things where he decides, hey, rest would be best for me. I'm glad that I was named. Let's give someone else a chance. And I don't know, Kemba Walker replaces him or something like that. But, I mean, Wall is not right. And we know the injury history that he has, that Bradley Beal has on top of that. So, I mean, look, I'd prefer if Wall decides that something's just not 100% right with him, that he decides to sit out the All-Star game, take it easy, and then, you know, maybe just sometimes refresh his mind a little bit too. I mean, these guys just look mentally taxed. You got Stephen A. Smith screaming that players don't like John Wall and Bradley Beal on the team right now. J.J. Barea saying the same thing. There's a lot of things going on with this team right now, and it might be the best thing for them to almost get away from each other. And if there's injuries or there's nagging issues that are going on health-wise for somebody like Wall, then take some time away and recuperate.
The only person to ever win his senior superlative in his high school's best-looking person at school all 4 years he was there, Nick Ashew, ladies and gentlemen. We call him Nick Handsome.
Now you're making stats up. Stop it.
That's not true. I would never do that. Thank you, Nicholas.
Thanks, guys.
Be well. Grant and Danny on the Fan. That was Nick Ashew, and that was your Beltway Blitz. Next, what Baker Mayfield said about the possibility of playing for the Cleveland Browns if he's drafted first overall, and maybe importantly, more important to the Redskins, what's he going to be as an NFL player? We'll get into that next. I'm Grant. He's Danny. This is The Fan. Welcome back. Hour 3 of 4 is continuing. Baker Mayfield was late to the Senior Bowl. He was tending to some family matters, said that his mom wasn't doing well. So he said family first, which was respectable. I covered a lot of ground with the media yesterday. The one thing that I really took out of the Baker Mayfield conversation with the media, though, he was asked what he wanted to show, what he wanted to prove about himself this week. Listen to this answer from Mayfield.
Type of guy I am. You know, everybody wants to portray the bad boy, the Johnny Manziel stuff, but no, I love the game of football. There's no doubt about that. Emotional player. I'll do anything what it takes to win. Love being around my teammates, and I love leading and, you know, having responsibility.
I don't know why the fact that he brought up Johnny Manziel's name was important to me, but I thought that it showed some type of introspection. It showed a awareness about what the perception is of him that I think is important. Because even when Johnny Manziel was always answering questions that were being asked of him about what kind of guy he was and his character off the field, and did he care enough about football? Was he just a party bro, which we all knew that he was? And he was lying and saying, I'm gonna be a model citizen. I will never do that again. I'll give up Vegas and all these things. I'm not sure that he was ever actually aware or did a lot of introspection. I don't think he stopped to do that. I think he was just answering questions. The fact that Mayfield brought up Johnny Manziel to me was really interesting. The next thing that I would point to is he was asked what football means to him, and he went into in detail what football means to him and why he loves the game so much. And you could tell that this is a dude who feels like football is not just kind of what he does when he's out on the field. It's his life.
Football's everything, you know. It's, you know, led me to be a better man. It's challenged me. It's made me face adversity, you know, learn what I'm all about. It's brought me some of my best friends and brought my family closer together, realizing that you got to keep your inner circle tight. So there's a lot of things that have stemmed from the game of football, but it's much more than just a game. It's all the things that come with it.
How long have we known each other?
What, 7 years now?
Something like that,
yeah,
right?
About that.
We used to do our Hill Country lunches and hang out and kick it. We've done the show together for 4.
Yeah.
I think every now and then you get surprised by something I'm about to say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm that surprised. I'm that worried about Baker Mayfield as a dude.
I'm on the same page.
Really?
In so much as this is not a Manziel situation.
Yes.
This is not a guy that's going to drink himself out of the league or party himself out of the league.
But you know how generally, like, if there are a couple things, the videos, when we had Booger McFarlane on, he said, I've seen videos of him running from cops. I've seen videos of him grabbing his crotch. Normally I hear that kind of thing, I'm just out. Like I was on Manziel. I couldn't have been further out. My questions about Mayfield are more football-related than even character-related. And I think there's a chance he could be really good. I also think there is a chance this could be a disaster. Like, Booger came on, he said, I think the floor for him is he's going to be a good NFL quarterback. I don't see that. I see three pitch embarrassing strikeout, three sliders in the dirt. You didn't get close. Wouldn't hit it with a tennis racket. Or a home run that goes to the second deck. I think he's a superstar or he's a debacle. And I really don't see any middle ground for him.
I think there's a difference between a good person making mistakes and a guy that's just kind of dirtbag to the core. Mm-hmm. Does that make any sense? I think Johnny Manziel is the latter. I think that is a dude that can't get right.
He's a donk.
Whereas I think Baker Mayfield, and I don't know why I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt, but it just seems to me, is one of those good guys that means well, that maybe a little bit JoJo the circus boy. Maybe he's overzealous at times and has done some things he shouldn't have done. I don't know why I give him the benefit of the doubt and not Johnny Manziel, but I don't have good reasons for it. Just the feeling I've got from observing, right?
Johnny Manziel generally came off as a way bigger tool. Johnny Manziel never had the press conferences where he was crying and apologizing, or his coach was crying because he had to bench him and strip a letter from him. There was never the same level of contrition with Johnny Manziel that you've gotten after Baker Mayfield's incident.
I mean, when Manziel left the Manning passing camp or in disgrace, just the number of things that built up, plus the scramble around, whatever kind of stuff. So put that aside for a second for me. So let's just say for the sake of this moment that we all agree that this is not a Manziel situation. There may be some wild card type stuff off the field, but not to the point that's going to keep you up at night. I have no interest in this player. I have no interest in this.
Really?
The too small, one read spread offense type stuff where he wants to dance around, leave clean pockets, can't see over things. If you're going to be 6 foot and not have great big hands and not be the physical tools guy, you better be Russell Wilson or you better be Drew Brees. He ain't. He's a really good college football player.
I'll say this for him. If you really like him, you can see some Russell Wilson in him.
Because you want to see
it. But hold on, though. You're not going to see Russell Wilson Seattle right now. You're going to see Russell Wilson Wisconsin. That guy at Wisconsin at the end of Russell Wilson's career looks a lot like what Baker Mayfield does when Baker Mayfield's 72 and sunny. There is a similar skill set there, I think. Now, I don't think he's Russell Wilson at all. I'm not saying that.
Right.
My point is, if you want comps, the pendulum that's swinging here is worst-case scenario, it's Manziel. Best-case scenario, it's Russell Wilson. He's going to end up probably smack dab in the middle. I'm probably not as out on you as you are in saying, like, I want nothing to do with him. But here is the question we can pose on the phones, and I think this is a fun way to do this, and we can kind of do this like we did last year leading up to the draft on a bunch of these prospects from time to time. A little game we call stud or dud. You've got to put all your money on them becoming a stud or them fizzling and being a dud. Where do you put your money? You make this a binary. He ends up great or he ends up being a bust. Baker Mayfield, stud or dud, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Now, because it's a binary, I'm going dud.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually, there's something about him I really like.
That's why I give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm on the same page as you.
In a different world where quarterbacks are not so preposterously overvalued, mm-hmm. in a world where Kirk Cousins isn't about to make $29 million and Marcus Mariota doesn't go second and start right away, E.J. Manuel and Christian Ponder aren't top 20 picks.
Right.
I would draft a guy like Baker Mayfield in the second or the third round, and I would groom them for a couple seasons, and I think I might have something. Because of the speed with which it all needs to happen, because we live in this microwave society, because everyone's got a cell phone all the time, it probably won't work out. But 25 years ago, I think it probably could have been something really cool. I like something about the dude. I don't know why. I like the moxie a little bit,
yeah,
but it's too much. Like when he's grabbing his crotch and stuff, that stuff to me is embarrassing and you're a jerk.
I think you can grow out of that.
I agree with you. I'm going to go dud, not stud.
This is a guy that gets a coach and GM fired. This is the kind of player, because you're going to take him in the first round. Heisman Trophy winner, Baker Mayfield. The expectations will be through the roof. And when they don't occur, when you get that 4-turnover, 7-sack game, you'll have highlight moments because he's capable of highlights. He's going to scramble around, avoid 6 rushers, and do the back-footed throw that up in the air, up for grabs. Someone's going to make a big play, and they'll go, see, that's what Baker does. Baker just footballs. Baker is football. Then you're going to get the 5-11 record with tons of turnovers and an accurate passer. I have no interest. This is the kind of player that I couldn't deal with if I was a general manager. He's going to get me fired. I don't want to do that. I want to get a guy that I can absolutely count on and has played in a pro system and I can
groom and
develop.
You'll go less upside maybe and safer And I will too, by the way, every single time. Would you rather have Josh Allen?
100%.
Would you rather have Mason Rudolph?
100%.
I think I would too.
I'd rather have Darnold, who looks like he's walking
Brendan
around with
Darnold
with cinder blocks on his feet.
Yeah.
And he looks pudgy.
I mean, you're not
going
on a limb. That guy's going to go maybe first overall.
Well, yeah, I'm simply saying there are a lot of guys I'd rather have.
Yeah. 800-636-1067. So you're going dud as well.
100% dud.
We are in agreement here. Let's get to the phones next. We'll do a little instant poll. Baker Mayfield. Will he turn into a stud? Will he be a dud? We'll take the temperature of our listeners. 800-636-1067 next on The Fan.
We're debating something. There's no debate about Window Nation, though, my friend. If you feel the cold air coming into your home this winter, Window Nation wants to keep you warm inside with their zero down, zero payments, and zero interest offer. It's for a limited time, so you get all new windows and keep the cold out of your house and keep money in your pocket. This is even cooler, GP. Window Nation is giving you 50% off any style, any size, any color window. 50% off right now. There's no limit.
They've got experienced installers who are ready to go. Installers with 16 years experience on average who have installed over 350,000 windows. So they'll come to your house. They'll go room to room, and they'll keep you warm without any interruptions. Put them to work today. Get your home winterized with energy-efficient Window Nation windows. You're going to be warmly rewarded. Lower bills, lowest prices of the year, zero down, zero payments, zero interest until 2019. And as Danny told you, 50% off every window you buy. Now is the very best time for the very best deal of this brand new year. Call Window Nation today. The number is 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION. Or visit windownation.com. But you got to tell them Grant and Danny sent you.
Window Nation for your home because it's where you live.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Type of guy I am, everybody wants to portray the bad boy, the Johnny Manziel stuff, but no, I love the game of football. There's no doubt about that. Emotional player. I'll do anything what it takes to win. I love being around my teammates, and I love leading and, having responsibility.
Baker Mayfield's in Mobile slinging the ball around for scouts and executives who are considering using a first-round pick on him at this week's Senior Bowl. We're Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan, leading up to the draft last year. We took various prospects, and we asked you to, on a binary, put some money down on whether they'd be a stud, and they turned out great, or a dud, and it didn't work out, and they were a bust. Where would you put your money on a guy like Mayfield, who is polarizing and who a lot of people feel like it's going to be one extreme or the other? They don't see a lot of middle ground for him. The Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener line's open at 800-636-1067. We had ESPN's Booger McFarland on the show earlier today. He was sensational. If you missed him, grab the podcast, grantanddanny.com/audio. Here's what he said about Mayfield.
And I think when you look at Baker Mayfield, his floor, I think, is an average starting quarterback, which, I mean, there's probably a ton of them walking around, but can he be special? That's the thing you want to draft in the first round. You're not drafting a guy in the first round to be Josh McCown or Luke McCown. You're drafting a guy in the first round to be a franchise quarterback. I don't know if he can be that, because all I can go off of is what I've seen. I've seen videos of him running from the police. I've seen videos of him grabbing his crotch on the sideline. I've seen videos of him planting a flag and taunting other teams. Those are not things that you see ideally when you talk about franchise quarterbacks. So if history tells us anything, there's a certain way you have to act to be the guy that's in charge of the franchise. I haven't seen him act that way just yet. Now, that doesn't mean he can't change. However, usually a leopard doesn't change his spots. And I just wonder, as talented as he is, can he change when you give him more money and more time? I think that's the biggest question for Baker Mayfield.
Got a buddy of mine who's a big Packers fan who said, I grew up watching Brett Favre do it. He goes out there and he puts up the numbers and he's going to go hang out and drink and be a dude on the farm. And
yeah, he's an all shucks good old boy.
Absolutely. I think that those guys are so few and far between. I want my franchise quarterback to be the CEO. There's less CEO in Mayfield than I like out of my top prospects. Now, he could grow up. He can mature. He could stop being an Arlington bro, some frat boy Brad. I think that that's a possibility for Baker Mayfield. I certainly think he's going to be more mature a few years from now than he is at this moment. But there's basically Brett Favre. There's one of those dudes. I always thought Brett Favre was a tick overrated anyway, to be completely honest with you. But you can't take away his greatness at his peak. And while I would certainly have taken Brett Favre all those years over all the litany of Redskins quarterbacks.
Sure, and most guys in the league. It's a Hall of Famer.
Right, who wouldn't? I'd also tell you, I think that the batting average is going to be lower drafting guys with Brett Favre's personality than drafting guys with a better, more safe personality to build around. There was one guy that kind of navigated that pretty well. A lot more guys with Brett Favre's personality and makeup don't make it than do.
Sure, and very few guys are blessed with that howitzer that Brett Favre had, which made up for an awful lot.
Mayfield doesn't have that.
And Mayfield doesn't have that.
He's got a really good arm.
It's fine.
I think it's underrated. It ain't Brett Favre.
Yeah, it's not that. Because that's, again, as you said, lightning strikes, but so often. To me, this is the quintessential backup quarterback. This is the perfect guy that down the line where he comes in and can make a couple plays with his feet and scramble out of trouble and be a guy that the defense hadn't prepared for and win you a game or two. Over 16 weeks, he will play in the defensive coordinator's hands. They will bait him into things. A, the adjustment from that spread that Oklahoma has run has claimed many guys, okay, as they transition to the NFL. They've run out of time in terms of adjusting. He fumbled a snap yesterday because he doesn't take snaps. He does nothing but ride in the shotgun. That takes time. These little things that everybody comes in the league prepared to do if you played in a pro-style offense that he's not, that has, again, as I said, has claimed a lot of quarterbacks. That transition's hard enough as it is. Then you take into the fact he's not that big. He's not quite fast enough to be fast. He's not quite quick enough to be quick. He's a better athlete than most guys. This, to me, is the quintessential example of the great college quarterback. There's nothing wrong with being a great college quarterback, but I've seen it. I've seen Charlie Ward. I've seen the kid, Eric Crouch from Nebraska. Yeah. I have seen this before. I have no interest in
this. This isn't really a fair thing to do because none of these guys really matter as it pertains to Baker Mayfield as an NFL prospect, but who's the last Oklahoma quarterback that got to the NFL and really thrived? I mean, in the Stoops era, we haven't seen it. Sam Bradford has had a decent career. I would say overall disappointing based largely on injury.
Yeah, not befitting of the number one overall pick.
By the way, I would still advocate to bring in Sam Bradford this season because if he's healthy, I think he can put up numbers. He's a good enough quarterback. But if you think Bradford's somewhat disappointing, after him, Landry Jones was the guy there for a few years. He's still a backup, and every time he gets to play with Pittsburgh, completely lays an egg. Blake Bell was the quarterback there with Trevor Knight.
So much Josh Heupel.
Josh Heupel was there. You got to go all the way back to, it's a bunch of guys that are now coaches. Like, Justin Fuente was the quarterback there in 1996. I don't remember the last dude from Oklahoma. Aikman started there in 84 and obviously moved on to UCLA. That was a great NFL quarterback. Now, that's not a reason not to draft Baker Mayfield, but to your point, it is something that I'm sure teams will bring up. Benny in Fairfax, what's up?
Grant and Danny, man. Glad you guys got me on, man. You guys are fantastic.
Thank you, bud.
Looking at the Baker Mayfield thing, the biggest question that we ask ourselves is, what is he going to be if he comes to the Redskins? Now, you could ask what he's going to be in the league, but I think instead of Johnny Manziel or whatever, I think his career will be more like a Vince Young meets Jameson Winston. Like, that's what I see. I see his career in the NFL, because he's going to go in the first round. I mean,
100%.
And the likelihood is that he gets drafted later, you know, probably around, I think, anywhere between like 16 to 20.
I'll bet you, you're probably right. I think that's the safe bet. Benny, I would not be surprised if he went in the 8 to 12 range.
I don't think he makes it to 16.
That's how this draft
goes. You got to trade up to get him, and you got to trade up, though. And I don't know how many of those teams, like, that are sitting in that. In that earlier round, are going to take that type of chance.
Here's my response. People they can be reasonable. They can be smart. These NFL evaluators and coaches and GMs, whatever, they're able to do it for the most part. Something about quarterback makes them lose their minds.
Yep.
Look at what the Chicago Bears did. Out of panic that somebody was going to take Mitch Trubisky. No one was clamoring to take Mitch Trubisky. They gave up an arm and a leg to move up one spot.
Right.
San Francisco couldn't believe their good fortune. You could go down the list of guys. The trade-ups
Gabbert
will
going
happen.
10, Ponder going
Christian
12.
Christian Ponder. The list is
Manuel
infinite.
Manuel going 16.
They lose
Jake
their
Locker
minds.
Going 8.
Oh, good. Jake Locker. By the way, Jake Locker is Josh Allen. 50% completion in college, but he looked a certain way. No, thank you.
Mo's in Largo on the fan. What's up, Mo?
Mo.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, dude.
Ordinarily, I would think, or I would say that, you know, with his measurables, he probably wouldn't be successful. But I believe the game is changing in the NFL. One, they're starting to cater these offenses to the attributes of the quarterbacks that are coming into the system. Two, there are a lot more options from the spread with this RPO or read option.
True.
So with that being said, I think the young man has a fighting chance. He's a competitor. It sounds like he's willing to do whatever he needs to do to be successful, and I like the heart in him. So, you know, I wouldn't count him out. I think the young man stands a very good shot of being successful in the league. And like you said, he has a good arm, he's mobile, and he's a competitor, and he's a leader. You know, these are things that are hard to find in quarterbacks these days. So with that being said, I like the man's chances. Thank you.
Mo, I love the
call.
And I think it's smart. I would say, though, just because you're an athlete who has a decent arm doesn't mean you can do those things.
Yeah.
And I'll point to Marcus Mariota, who now a second coach just got fired because they're struggling to develop that guy. I'll point to Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor is a better athlete than Baker Mayfield. Arm strength is decent. That's an offense where they run the ball. It's a team where they play defense. And that could easily be with a really good quarterback and 11-12 win team. You could go RPOs with him. You could go read option. You could do a bunch of things. You have to be able to make throws from the pocket in the NFL. You just have to be. And with Mayfield, the problem isn't arm strength or anything else. It's at his height, Drew Brees moves so well in the pocket. The number of things he does to create himself passing lanes, no one has ever been able to do. The only other guy at that size right now who's a good passer is Russell Wilson. They move him out of the pocket a ton. So that's probably what Baker Mayfield's team's going to have to do as well. We've got breaking news for you on Grant and Danny right now on 106.7 The Fan. Got to hit on LeBron James becoming the youngest player in NBA history to get to 30,000 points. We'll do that next. Cordell Stewart is on the show at 1 o'clock to preview Super Bowl 52 on The Fan. We probably don't even need to congratulate LeBron James on 30,000 points younger than any NBA player because he already congratulated himself, you'll remember, yesterday.
Took care of it for us. Appreciate that, bud.
Young King, he said to himself. I'm proud of you, he said to himself. It went down last night. 38 minutes, 28 points, 9 boards, 7 assists. Just your prototypical and vintage 10 for 23 game against the Spurs. LeBron James, the youngest player in history to that elusive and exclusive 30,000-point club, 6 players are in it.
Amazing. Really is amazing. And it's so funny because everything is so scrutinized, obviously. Everything is, you know, has to be a referendum at all times. And I think it's unfortunate you don't just get to appreciate how great a player is. And again, I root against him. I love it when he loses, but this is the second best player I've ever seen in my life. So you get the Skip Bayless-type goblins, the trolls that, you know, love to tell him that he lost this many finals or MJ never would have done this or whatever, the different eras. Appreciate. If you love sports, if you love basketball the way that I do, his ability to control a game in so many different ways. He's like that. It reminds me of like a prototypical or great leadoff hitter and like in Ricky Henderson. Ricky Henderson could beat you with a stolen base, beat you with a bunt single, beat you with a walk, beat you with a stolen base. He could do everything. That's what LeBron James does. There aren't many of those guys. There have been great scorers. There have been great defenders. There have been guys that did pretty well at both. He is a great rebounder, a great defender when he has to be. His most famous play ever is probably a chase down shot block. I mean, you think of
it was an awesome this, play.
This new era prototype for a wing player, a guy that's played all 5 positions on the court, just a transcendent player. Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, he is the second best player of my life behind Michael Jordan. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. I'm lucky that I've gotten to see him not only in the regular season, but also in the playoffs. And again, he congratulated himself was a really weird thing to do, but... Well, he still has some of those moments where I kind of shake my head and go, man, that is an unaware thing to do. I like him so much more than I used to. Part of it, I think, is me growing up. Same reason I like Tom Brady more than I used to. Part of it is that he really did start to be a little bit more conscious of his image and the things he was doing. And he still lets things slip through the cracks like this, congratulating himself. But that, to me, was more kind of humorous than anything else and just kind of, oh, wow, that's peak LeBron. But the little over-the-years anecdotes of, you know, playing catch with a guy, tossing the ball back and forth with a fan or bringing a kid out on the court for a hug, the things that he's done, and I know people like you cynically will say, well, he just did it so that you like him more. Maybe that's true, but he still did it.
Yeah, he's still
got that story.
He's definitely done more positive things. I mean, he's done
He's
great.
Also donated
yeah.
millions and millions of dollars in computers to schools. And I mean, he basically... put up the money for an entire school in Akron and a bunch of kids to go to college at one point.
So this is not as extreme an example because this is not like a criminal or something like that. But, you know, Lance Armstrong did a lot of good but is still reviled and hated for a lot of reasons. My point is, you can do good things, which he has. I acknowledge those things. I also, you know, he poses for the picture before every Miami Heat game. He throws the chalk in the air and refers to himself in the third person.
What harm does that do to anyone?
There's no harm. It means I don't like you. That's as simple as far as it goes. The number of coaches and general managers he's gotten fired, the fact that he acts as his own GM, the amount of stuff that he does that nobody sees is so frustrating and it's exasperating. You don't have to do that. You can just be great and let things happen for you.
I find his least likable traits the things that you referenced second there, like getting coaches and GMs fired and running his own team, and it seems like just insufferable nature with which he is as a teammate with some of these guys. Now, Jordan was a pain in the butt, I'm sure, to deal with, but mm-hmm. I don't recall Scottie Pippen forcing his way out like right. Kyrie Irving just did.
Yeah, there's no, you know, there's, it's a different league, it's a different time. Magic Johnson got a coach fired, you know, working with Jordan was a hard thing. His greatest breakthrough was when he finally passed the ball to a teammate in the finals when Phil Jackson got in his face. I mean, but to me, it's silly to compare anybody to Michael Jordan because of the era. We were in an era where defense was at a premium. He got clothes on every time he came into the lane. Every time LeBron James gets fouled, he acts like he's been shot, and he rolls around and wants you to know that he's playing through pain. Again, another reason I don't like the guy. Fact is, 30,000 points is remarkable, especially at this age, the youngest to ever do it. An all-around dominant player. We are in a great era of basketball.
This just popped up on my Twitter feed in front of me here, and this is something we can react to in the 1 o'clock hour. We're going to have Cordell Stewart on the show at 1 o'clock coming up in just a few minutes, so maybe we could do it after. But Joe Thomas, who's the 10-time Pro Bowl left tackle with the Cleveland Browns, legendary, longtime NFL offensive lineman. Browns just went 0-16. He was on the radio, I guess, this morning, it looks like. He was on ESPN Radio with Trey Wingo and Mike Golic. This is the show that used to be Mike and Mike in the morning. He said, quote, "If I was the GM," and this means if he was running the Browns, "what I would do, we have $118 million in cap space." That's so much cap space.
That's a lot of cap space, man.
"Says we got plenty of money to do whatever we want. I would sign Kirk Cousins, and then I would use the first and the fourth pick on the best players," Thomas said Wednesday on ESPN Radio's Golic and Wingo. "Probably Penn State running back Saquon Barkley and one of the defensive players. I'm not exactly sure where they'll go, where they rank the quarterbacks. But for me, I'd rather sign Kirk Cousins because we have the money. Then you don't have to use a draft pick to trade up for a guy like Alex Smith, who is one of the other names that's out there. For me, I think you sign Kirk Cousins and then you draft Saquon Barkley and the best defensive player available. All of a sudden, you're a heck of a lot better immediately overnight." First of all, that plan would make the Browns a lot better. I don't know what Cousins' interest would be, but if the Browns paid him handsomely, I mean, you probably have to overpay him just to make him come there because it's Cleveland.
You got
to
pay that tax.
But if you're Cousins, you go there, you got Saquon Barkley behind you, you got David Njoku, they drafted a tight end last year, you still have Corey Coleman and Josh Gordon at wide receiver, offensive line that has had some money spent on it. I mean, that's not as laughable a situation as a lot of people would make it out to be. But how about Joe Thomas putting the GM hat on, saying he'd go get Kirk?
He's done it. Brandon Marshall, the Denver Broncos, has done it. There is demand. I mean, people have made that.
It's true. This is the second player on a team in the AFC that has said they would like their team to go sign Kirk Cousins.
Second player in desperate need of a quarterback, by the way. Otherwise, they're watching their prime years get squandered. Both of those guys are not stupid. I'm telling you, guys in the league know. Guys in the league know how important that is. And they understand, even if it means overpaying and one of your buddies has to go, you get a small window, man. You don't have that much time to sort of dance around. They would rather do that than sit through another developmental project and watch Hugh Jackson ruin another kid quarterback.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Cordell Stewart joins us next. We could talk QBs with him. We'll also get his thoughts on Nick Foles and the Eagles and what they may have to do to accomplish something that only the Giants have been able to previously, and that is knock off the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl with Belichick coaching them up and Brady swinging the football. That's next on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.